Good afternoon, Jim Dennis, 609 Blondo. I'm an attorney here in town, here with Lexington Square. I'm not going to give testimony. You're going to hear from Susan Grant, the current director, and she'll give some testimony and explain to you the project, answer any questions you have about the project, and how the project will assist and benefit the residents of Lexington Square. And then Brian Carroll is here also from Shoemaker-Hallen to talk about the engineering study that he did, then address your questions about the study and the proposal and how that proposal will help with any water problems that the residents in Greenbrier have been talking about lately. I appreciate your comments, Mr. Henriksen, about the different issues, and I would like to reiterate that we're here about what's in the application only. We're not here to talk about complaints about no sidewalks in the area, traffic at Hawthorne, students at Hawthorne, children at Hawthorne, Dave's Place, or any other emotional issues that the residents may have. One thing I would like to point out, and in your code section for the ordinance, when you go through the five or six factors that you have to consider, the word substantial appears in a couple places. So any of these effects that people will be complaining about or talking about, the effects of this project on the community, or I'm sorry, on the neighborhood, in some cases it needs to be substantial. And in reviewing some of the Supreme Court decisions that address these issues that are presented to the board, when the Supreme Court looks at it in Iowa, it looks for substantial evidence to support whether or not the permit or special use permit is granted or denied. So with those just those opening comments, we'll turn this over now to Susan Grant. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Susan Grant, and I live at 821 Hickory Street in Hamilton, Illinois. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I am the administrator of Lexington Square. Our purpose here today is to request a special use permit to construct a 10,000-foot expansion to our existing facility. This addition, named the Rehab to Home Unit, is designed for the short-term rehabilitation patient. The addition would have its own entrance, as well as 14 private rooms with its own private bathroom and a shower. The addition will also accommodate a separate dining area for the short-term patient, as well as a 2,000-square-foot therapy room with state-of-the-art rehabilitation equipment designed to get patients home as quickly as possible. Caring for the ill and the elderly has changed dramatically since Lexington Square was originally built in 1970. It was known then as the Keokuk Convalescent Center. There is much more space required now to accommodate what is needed to provide high-quality care for each individual. The times have changed in the 21st century, and today's consumer wants privacy. The baby boomer generation knows what they want, and they want private rooms. I know I do. Should I ever require post-hospital services, number one, I would want to come to Lexington Square because I know the quality of care and services I would receive, and number two, I want a private room and I want a private bath. People don't wake up and say, gee, I think I'll go to the nursing home today. Skilled nursing facility care is not anyone's first choice. But when that care is needed, Lexington Square needs to be able to provide what is wanted by the consumer, private rooms and private bathrooms. I also want to speak today about another neighborhood that has been left unheard throughout any discussions, and that is the neighborhood of residents that currently reside inside our facility. With the new addition, it would open up so much needed space within the existing building. We could remodel a room for a chapel and provide additional dining space. We could secure an area for nursing staff to be able to talk to each other and to the physicians without any threat of breaching confidential patient information. We could transform space in the existing for additional storage and improve the quality of the residents' hallways as equipment would be able to now be put away when not in use. And we could remodel the existing rooms into private rooms and private baths. I believe I am correct when I say that the Chapter 20 Code reference states that regulations for this type of constructions are the same as R1 for a business such as a nursing home, and it specifically states that a nursing home is an allowable use in a residential district, such as like a church or a park. I'm going to address the issues that come forth about traffic hazards. Lexington Square will not increase traffic hazards with this addition. I want the board to understand that we are not increasing bed capacity, and we do not intend to hire additional staff. We are simply reallocating space and developing private rooms. The bed capacity of 126 licensed beds will not change. Also, staffing is determined by resident census and acuity, not by square footage. There is no evidence to validate any increase in traffic hazards. The number of employee vehicles and the number of company trucks that deliver to the facility will not increase. There is no change in the employee time schedules, and everything will remain as it always has been. Fire hazards. The addition will be fully sprinkled, and it will be built in accordance with all construction standards. Of course, we know this because all plans have to be approved by the Department of Inspections and Appeals, as well as the State Fire Marshal's Office. I also spoke with Mr. Rose, the Keokuk Fire Chief, and he stated to me that as long as the facility conforms with all codes and complete state approval process, he anticipates no problem. Adversely affect the character of the neighborhood. The definition of adverse means creating unfavorable, undesirable, or harmful results. This addition cannot be construed as adverse because it will not affect the residential appearance in the neighborhood, and it will be cosmetically appealing to the surrounding properties. We have planted trees as a sound barrier and I have taken photos to share with the board. And if that's okay with you, I'm going to bring them forward. As you can see with the pictures that I brought forward, there's no anticipated change in the tree barrier lines and no change on the east property. There really cannot be any change in the character of the neighborhood for one simple fact. Lexington Square was there first. Adversely affect the general welfare of the community. As stated, the rehab to home unit, Lexington Square can only improve the general welfare of the community. Additionally, the supplementary space created within the existing building will improve the quality of life for those persons living there and by appropriating more private spaces and opening up storage. The recreation of the rehab-centered unit will help stimulate our local economy, and we all know that's desperately needed. This project will create jobs and dollars during the construction period. Public utilities. Again, all plans have to be approved by the DIA and the State Fire Marshal. I cannot see any potential or actual overtaxing of public utilities by this building project. Be in conflict with the comprehensive plan. We believe the building project will not conflict with anything in the comprehensive city plan and will be in compliance with all codes. In closing, I have been a nurse for 36 years, and I have taken care of many patients. And I have always informed those people that I can take care of what they need, but that need needs to be communicated with me. I did not learn to read minds in my years of nursing education. I have been the administrator of Lexington Square since 2009. I want the board to know that not once since I have been the administrator has any neighbor come into our building and asked to speak with me about any concerns regarding water, traffic, lighting, or noise. Not once. Not once has any neighbor called me on the phone to inform me of their concerns regarding water, traffic, lighting, or noise. Now, when we want to exercise our right to expand living space within our building and provide consumers with what they want in the 21st century, do the neighbors come forth with issues? We have been here since 1970 and will continue to be here providing a service to those persons who need our service. We embrace the vision of the 21st century skilled nursing, and we embrace the changing landscape of the healthcare industry. I want Lexington Square to be able to move forward and meet the changing needs of our society and of our community. I am respectfully requesting your approval for our special needs permit. Thank you. And I'll welcome any questions regarding this.
What is the plans for the rest of the structure?
The plans for the rest of the structure will be, we have every room in Lexington Square is a double room. We have certain rooms that have a private bathroom in specific areas. Not a lot of them don't. So those rooms that have a private bathroom will be reconfigured into a private room. So there will be 10 additional private rooms in the building, as well as the 14. I am taking two rooms out for storage, and we only right now currently have two private rooms, and they're very, very small. Those very small rooms will be turned into the nurses' conference center, where they will be able to take phone calls, you know, in a confidential area, which is so needed.
Okay, what about the outside of the building? Obviously, it's going to be revamped too.
Front or back, sir? The building is the addition is going to go into the northwest corner behind the building.
Is the remainder of the exterior of the building going to be updated, changed, or modified?
To my knowledge, no. Okay, thank you.
I do have a question for Pam. Has the city had any, do you have anything on file about anybody coming to you about anything? Because, I mean, they have every right to come and complain about all these issues.
A couple years ago, and I'm not sure what the address is, Catherine Kelly called regarding drainage.
The water?
The water, yes.
Did anybody, was anything addressed at that time?
Carl Lawson from the sewer department went out. Did some cameras to ensure that the Lexington Square did not have their drainage going into where they shouldn't have it going into.
So this would be just because of the type of topographical of the...
Yes, so that's what it was determined, and they were sent a letter stating that that was between property owners.
Okay. All right. So there has been one person contact you about the water?
Yes.
But none of the other issues that were mentioned on my... Okay.
Brian Carroll with Shoemaker and Holland Professional Engineers, 2021 Main Street. We were retained by the Lexington Group, Lexington Square LLC, to do a preliminary drainage review and come up with a conceptual plan to retain or detain, remove runoff stormwater from the property. Our basic drainage review consists of we take the existing contours of the property and that of the surrounding properties. We divide those into drainage areas in order to show how much water and where that water is going. And then we use that to come up with some sort of a storm retention drainage or removal system to control that water. And we did this for the whole site. And I realized today we're talking about just the new addition. The plan that we came up with does include that new addition, taking that water that will be generated by putting a new building addition on and getting it off the property. Our plan shows doing stormwater piping down the east property line, across the north property line, obtaining proposed stormwater easements from two neighboring residents, and then discharging the water into Price's Creek.
Does everybody that's here for the neighborhood, have they seen the drawings, or do they have a copy of the drawings, or does anybody need a copy of what's going on while he's talking there? You guys have them all? I'd like everybody to at least see or at least know, you know, what the plan is. I mean, because you can see where they are making essentially a whole area around the whole entire property to trap the stormwater or the runoff from the property, I mean, as it appears. But I just want to make sure everybody's got a copy. Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
And we do realize this is, as I say, a proposed layout, proposed plan. There hasn't been any final civil design elements put into this. Easements have not been purchased at this time, and nor they won't be until there's a design element put in and negotiations have taken place between the Lexington Group and the property owners. Really, to try to keep this brief, the stormwater drainage proposed stormwater drainage for the new building will be contained in this system. The proposed runoff for the new parking areas will be contained with storm sewer, curb and gutter areas along the parking. That water will be piped to the storm sewer that we got showing around. And that piping is not showing on the plan because the parking lot is obviously not designed with any kind of grades. Right now it's just an architectural layout of the parking. All that will be drained into the piping and carried off-site. And, you know, in addition to the new building, the existing drainage problems are also taken care of within this plan.
This plan also includes all the existing parking being paved so the water can be contained off of it?
Yes, that's what the new parking lot in the back is showing.
Right.
It's new paving. To my understanding, it will be. It will be designed to be paved, yes, with curb and gutter.
Because, I mean, to meet the current requirements, I mean, that's really what's going to happen.
It has to be done.
I'm assuming that's what's being proposed.
Yes.
Because the one thing is, I mean, some of this is clear, but it's not. I mean, we put together a proposal of what we're going to do here, but it's all going to hinge on the fact that whether, you know, you can contain all the water you're going to be generating off of all the paved parking as well as the new building.
Right.
So, I mean, I've just been listening the other night. I mean, you know, there's a lot of concerns about, you know, everything that's going to happen because it is shown here, but yet none of it's been developed to the point where it's ready for approval.
Right. That is correct.
Okay.
And in addition to these obviously are proposed drainage areas with the storm sewer showing on it. The process moves forward and civil drawings are generated, those will have to be sent to the Iowa DNR for approval because this site is over one. If you're draining or disturbing more than a 1 acre site, DNR has to become involved. So it's not just going to be a Lexington Square, Shoemaker and Holland decision on how this water is going to go and where it's going to go. It's also going to be the Iowa DNR and the city in Keokuk also has to approve the construction plan before that moves forward.
Okay. Well, the main thing, I guess, that, you know, just listening in the discussions, you know, is and it is an issue. I mean, we realize that there's a tremendous issue with the water here,
mm-hmm.
Mostly because of Lexington Square being on the highest point, everything's going away from it. So, I mean, in theory, that would be Lexington Square's fault that they're on the top and everything's running down. That's really not the case. The subdivision was probably constructed incorrectly when it was done and wasn't provided with adequate drainage. But in the proposal that I see, you are correcting the problem with all of the water, even the water that is running off of the, I guess that's
on the east side.
The east side of
yes.
The property. So, okay. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Anybody else to speak about the project? Okay. Anybody from the neighborhood then?
Yes. I'm Kurt Dial. As Mr. Dennis represents the Lexington Square, I represent some of the neighbors. And I'm going to, as Mr. Dennis did, make kind of a brief statement. I do not intend this to be testimony, but I kind of want to address a couple things and some of the things the board said. One thing Ms. Grant said was she said, obviously, this would not affect the neighborhood because they were there first. She could not be any more incorrect on that. I would suggest that perhaps Ms. Grant would read the case of Weinhold v. Wolf. It's a case from 1996 from the Supreme Court of Iowa. You look at what the neighborhood is now, not what it was 20 years ago. What we have to consider is what the neighborhood is now. The fact that Lexington Square was there first has absolutely nothing to do with the neighborhood now.
You're right.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, well, I mean, he is right, but
And I think there's more than enough case law specifically setting that forth. The other thing is the board talked about this is not where you come here and complain about what's already happened, and I agree with that. But I think if you look at the case law, if you look at Iowa Code Section 414.1 and Iowa Code Chapter 414, sets forth what I think the board has to consider. And that talks about, and the case law talks about, is this going to change the neighborhood? One of the things that has to be considered is this going to adversely affect basically the neighborhood as it is now? So if some of these people right now already have problems where there's too much noise or too much light, if that's going to be increased, that's going to affect the neighborhood. So I think the problems they have now, not only the water, but anything they have, if it's going to be affected by this, that's something the board has to consider. The fact that it's already a condition, I don't dispute that, but I think they have every right to come in here and say how they already are affected and how that can be affected by the future. So I do intend some of my clients to come in here and address some of these things, such as the light, the noise. The other thing that is going to have to be considered is, as I said, is the residential area as it is now. The case law I've talked about specifically says you look at the neighborhood as it is now. And I believe the Kilcock special use talks about would this adversely affect the character of the neighborhood. So one thing that can be considered is the character of the neighborhood as it is now. I did not intend this to be testimony. I think that on Monday I kind of set forth that I would come up and make a brief statement. I've done that again. I would like for some of the residents to come in and explain kind of the conditions as the neighborhood is now so the board can see what kind of residential neighborhood this is and how this would be adversely affect if the building does go on. And another thing I'd point out, and I think it's important, is we have looked at the drawings. We just got these about a week ago, and specifically the drainage issue, which, as everyone's seen by the pictures, that's kind of a big problem out there. Before anything can take place, I think that the easements would be required. We are a little concerned that any construction starts, if the board does approve it, without having easements in place to make sure that before any construction would take place, the water problem's dealt with. Because I think I'm not an engineer, don't claim to be, but I assume when you take land right now that's absorbing rainwater and start taking off the topsoil and building there, that water's going to go somewhere instead of sinking into the ground. So as a practical matter, any construction that takes place is going to adversely affect the drainage as it is right now. Correct. And as I said, we come in here and this board has to consider what the drainage is now. Would that be adversely affected? It doesn't matter that Lexington Square was there first. People built them around them. You look at what you have now. And I believe that some residents do want to address the board.
Well, just a second.
Yes.
I mean, I agree with the comment. You know, we got to address as it is now. And like I said, they made a statement, and I don't have a problem with anybody making a statement. And I realize that there's a problem. But, I mean, just to keep talking about it, you know, that's fine. We know, and it needs to be addressed. But the water issue is one problem that is going to be addressed in this new addition. The thing is if they don't do the new addition, the water problem is not going to be addressed, and it doesn't have to be. But that's the thing with the parking lot being constructed and wasn't permitted and wasn't constructed, and or did they have permission to construct it? Then that is an issue they need to take up with the city, and we can have the parking lot removed. But, you know, that's the one thing. I mean, and it was wrong. I mean, the parking lot should not have been constructed. But as part of, you know, what we're here for today, if that is going to be, corrected, we can stipulate that it be corrected and that water be taken care of as part of this, or it doesn't happen. The only thing is that something does need to be done if the problem continues if we don't approve it.
And I agree with you, and I believe that saying that nothing can be done is not correct. I think if you look at Iowa Code Section 657.1, which outlines the definition of a nuisance, if they've created a nuisance, which I think water running on property would be, that can be addressed by the court. These property owners have every right to proceed with a nuisance claim,
exactly,
no matter what this board does tonight.
Exactly, and that's the point I'm making right there with the water. It can be addressed. But as far as our decision for the addition, I mean, the point I'm trying to make before we go on and on and on is the fact that that water problem can be addressed, and it probably needs to be.
Yes.
But, you know, as far as the addition to the what we're doing tonight, I mean, that's, if we can come up with a solution, you know, as part of this, that's the goal.
And I think one thing to remember is the water is only one issue that that the residents have brought. They have, and I know that some people are here Monday, and obviously we can't rely on what was said Monday.
No.
A new record needs to be made, so it's going to have to rehash it. But there are issues with the lighting, the noise, the traffic, and the general area of the residence, the residential neighborhood as it is now.
I'm Gene Knapp, and I live at 16 Greenbrier Court, along with my wife, and also...
You're directly behind the...
I'm directly behind. Those are my pictures you're looking at. I've got more if you want to see them.
Right. Where the bigger clump of trees is, and the lot to the west, I guess we'll call that the west. Are you on the north side?
I'm on the north side. If you come down the driveway...
To the west.
Well, there's two empty lots, and I own one, and Mr. Cole owns the other.
Okay.
And then there's Mr. Cole.
Okay. So you two are the two, or you guys are the ones that are directly behind it. Along
right.
The Johnsons are on the corner, correct?
Yes, okay. That's right.
All right.
Anyway, so you've all seen the pictures. And these pictures and what happened here, and the water in my garage and the water in my shed and that, happened pretty much after the gravel was added to the property behind me. You know, Mr. Israel had promised not to. When I had met with him, along with Paul Gaylord and Bill Cole, he had stated, he asked me what my main concerns were, and I said that he would build a parking lot behind me, and it would increase the noise and the lighting and the flow of water under my two lots. And he told me that would never happen. Well, as a result, not long after, his new manager, who is not here at this time, put in a gravel parking lot, you know, directly behind my house, and expanded it on a couple of occasions. This resulted in the water that you see in these pictures shortly thereafter. And these are taken several times. It's not just one rain here. So what I had to do was take it on my own hands here and into my own hands. And I put a berm around my house that you see the pictures of.
I saw that.
And, okay. All right. And that helped. And I had tiles. I put a lot of tiles. Okay. So we do have a water problem. Okay. I wanted to see those pictures of the trees. Could I, Susan? Could I see those real quick? You're asking? No, I don't have specific dates, but it started with, actually, my little drawing, I don't know if you've got that, the red. Did you get that from Pam from the other day?
Yeah. Oh, where the gravel is? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the part that, the north part, see, originally there was just a little parking back there, and there was no parking cars facing the north. And they just, little by little, kept adding gravel until they did the big parking lot, and then, or the parking lot directly behind me, and then added that gravel over halfway to the street, Messenger Road. Yeah. So all that was added in little by little, and the parking lot was added all at once. I think it might have been added to... Maybe one time. You guys?
You said the parking lot was added all at once.
I'm talking about this. Let me show you here real quick. Don't mind.
say, this area right here.
Is it this?
Yeah, that, okay. Yeah, that wide area.
And that's the...
Yeah, this was added here. And then this was added. This was added. And then I'm right here. So we got a line down here.
Well, and like I just mentioned to Kirk, and we talked before, this is an issue that can be addressed, and it can be. You can go to Pam, it can come back to us, and we can take care of it. And I strongly recommend that if something isn't resolved, through the process of this project or something else, because that should not have happened. And if, when that does happen, I mean, just as information sake, if you need to call down right away, because it is required, to have a building permit to do that.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize any of that.
Yeah.
I would have.
Or add parking, yeah.
It's actually
a special use, yeah.
A parking lot is a special use.
Even if it's gravel.
Yeah.
If you have a parking lot within a residential area, within
gravel
20 feet.
Kind of tends to have water go through.
I understand, but it's parking lots are still special
use. It's still a parking lot. And that's why I said, I realize that problem exists, but, it as part of what is coming up here, and what has been proposed, as long as we maintain, if something does happen, that all be corrected and this water be taken care of, I would, it will have to happen, I mean, no matter what. But if not, you need to come back to her and so we can get it addressed. Because, if it's a problem, it needs to be addressed.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to point out these pictures that Susan gave you. Mm-hmm. I planted all those trees. Now, I think I had permission to put two rows from Cal, who owned the place previously, and every one of those I planted, so okay. Lexington Square did not.
When you say the big part of the parking lot was all done at once, when was that?
Well, there may be people that can tell you here. I can't recall. Maybe 2 years ago, maybe?
Oh, it was before that. No,
was it 3 years ago?
I've been there 6 years, and that parking lot is pretty much the same as what it was the previous to my...
No, it isn't. No.
May I speak?
Let me finish here. Okay.
People answering from the crowd. Yeah.
I'm not so sure. I'm sorry about that. I'm not so sure exactly. Here's the part that was added. And Kathy Gable, shortly, when did Kathy Gable come? Because it was shortly after. Her husband's the one that did it.
About 3 years.
Yeah, something like that. I don't think it was 5. Okay. All right. This part was all done at once. She scraped it off with a little crack in it and brought in a bunch of grass.
Okay.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to mention while I'm up here. Susan stated that no one had complained about anything. That's not true because, like I said, Paul Gaylord and Bill Cole and I went and talked to Susan and Mr. Israel about the problems shortly after he purchased the place. That was one thing. I talked to Kathy Gable many times, and Bill Cole was with me on at least one occasion. And Kathy had promised to do something about the noise and about the runoff. She was going to send her husband over, and we'll dig a ditch, and we'll figure this out and whatever, and said that she'd talked to Mr. Israel about this and that. I'd given her pictures of this. When she first took over and after she had done the gravel, complained to her and never heard a thing, One time she said that Mr. Jensen was going to come over and help me and figure something out, about the water. But never happened. So on my behalf, there were several times I've complained to Lexington Square. Okay. Any questions about anything that I've talked about?
When you mentioned the noise. You've alluded to the noise problem. What specifically are you talking about?
Well, my wife is going to talk about that, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay.
I have just one question.
Oh, yeah.
Probably we'll ask anyone, any of the residents. Do you see anything positive about this addition? I see water issues for you guys, and I know you've had them for a while. I've been around that area. Would it be possible that this could have a positive impact on the neighborhood? It could, if Mr. Israel takes care of the drainage issues, puts a fence up, say, like they did out at Indian Hills.
We'd be opposed to that.
You would be opposed
yes.
to that?
Yes. We don't think that's attractive.
Well, that'd be a great privacy thing.
But the only comment I can make is, any time that I've had dealings with Mr. Israel or Lexington Square through Kathy Gable, hasn't been a positive thing.
Is Kathy Gable still?
No. She's not employed there anymore, so.
My name is Pam Getz, and I live at 4 Greenbrier Court, and I'm not going to bring up a bunch of stuff about the water issue, but I do want you to know that the three small pictures are of my house and Kathy Kelly's house during a typical rainstorm, and these were taken in the spring or summer of 09. So it is on both sides of Greenbrier.
Debbie Knapp, my husband and I, our residence is 16 Greenbrier, and we own the lot 18 Greenbrier. We sort of divided up some of these things so we wouldn't be redundant. And I'm speaking on the lighting and the noise problems from Lexington Square. Mr. Israel had agreed that placing lights facing Lexington Square would make more sense than shining them onto the Greenbrier residence. Or our properties. So three large light poles were placed on the southern side of Lexington Square, and they were facing Lexington Square. Okay? Shortly after, several bright lights were added, eight bright lights shining onto the Greenbrier properties, plus the three that were shining onto the Lexington Square, which gives you 11 lights in that back area. In fact, when I sit in my family room, watching TV in my house, there's a light that shines at me. Also, we have a deck out there, and obviously it shines on that also. And I know that these lights don't just shine on our lot or our property. They shine on other properties of Greenbrier. Another thing that needs to be noted is we don't have street lights on Greenbrier. So these are really bright in our neighborhood.
Can you discuss with them at all about the lights or
timer system? Or, I mean, I'm sure they don't have to be on all night, every night.
Now they have the parking lot.
On the park, they really got to be on all the time. So, I mean, it hasn't been discussed. Like I said, that doesn't impact this addition. I understand, you know, I want to listen to it, but I just, you know, if you discuss it or maybe even discuss it with, you know, see if you can get down and get those. Because usually when those bright lights are installed, you know, they do need to be not directed at, other structures. I mean, in most cases, that is, you know, that's a discussion you can have with them to either lower them or put something in there to reflect that. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, those are things that can be done.
Mm-hmm. If you extend the building in the parking lot, you're going to have more, though, probably, especially if you have a building and you extend more parking lot, you will probably have, I mean, I don't know, I'm just assuming that there would be more lights because you should see the lights now where they are, how many there are, 11.
Well, the way the parking lot addition looks to me is the parking lot's probably actually going to move back towards
us,
the south, a little bit to accommodate the berm. Because right now the parking lot is right up to the property almost, doesn't it? Almost to the property line. So it's going to come back 28 feet or 26 feet. Those lights, are they right? They're right. Those light poles, are, they're right on the property line, aren't they? They're right back from the back edge. So those, that'll all have to move forward. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
If things change, that's I just want to see if that's part of what's being changed. It appears as though it is. Or I guess they're staying.
They're leaving on their head.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess you're right. They are staying where they're at. Is it the lights on the pole or the lights on
the building?
Oh, it's the light on the building.
There are 8 lights on the building facing us. And there are 3 poles that are facing Lexington Square, but I mean, they're, you know, they light up the area also.
Yeah, I went out there to check the lighting.
It's pretty bright.
Those 3 lights are on the south side of
Debbie, those are north side.
Oh, the north side.
Okay.
I don't have anything in front of me, so sorry.
No, that's
I'm not real good with directions. Gene will tell you. Okay, anyway, should I continue or do you have more questions?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Other offensive light sources are the headlights and parking lots from the traffic moving in and out of Lexington Square during the evening and early morning hours. Not only moving traffic lights, but lights from the parking lot vehicles that face our homes all hours of the evening and early morning hours, disturbing us. Again, if you add the building and or extend the parking lot, making more parking spaces, that will only increase these offensive lights to our Greenbrier neighborhood. Shortly after Mr. Israel purchased Lexington Square, a new air conditioner chiller was put into place. The new chiller makes a loud whining noise that's very disturbing. It can be heard in some of our homes. And when I say in our homes, I'm talking about in my house with my doors shut, with my windows closed and my air conditioner going. And I know, and it's not just my home. This makes it impossible even to enjoy our backyards. This problem was brought to the attention of the manager on several occasions. Several plans were submitted to the manager with suggested sound barriers. Several of the Greenbrier residents even offered to build the barrier around this chiller. Promises were made that Mr. Israel was informed and would do something about the problem. Again, nothing was done. Noise still exists. Another building brings another air conditioner, chiller, more noise. Another noise-causing device is a trash dumpster / compactor. It has a hydraulic sound that ends with a metallic bang, and it can be heard throughout the neighborhood. My opinion, annoying.
Is that at night, or is that during the daytime?
Anytime, it doesn't matter. That's their dumpster.
But do they run that after 10 o'clock?
Whenever they go out.
I see the dumpster sitting out there in the compactor.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm asking.
Is it normal business hours if they're doing this, or is it while you're all sleeping, or when you first get up in the morning?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't gone out and timed it exactly, but I hear it often. Because it's closer to our house. I don't know the times. What?
Does that ever work out of your sleep?
No.
We just kind of get the time frame on when the dumpsters.
But that doesn't mean it wasn't being used and that someone else was up. I mean, I go to bed at varying times also. You know, I mean, I don't go to bed at an exact time. I get up pretty much at an exact time, but.
Okay. Not trying to nitpick. We're seriously just trying to figure out when these things are taking place. So.
I mean, if someone's running a trash compactor at midnight,
that's ridiculous.
But if they're doing it at 10 o'clock in the morning,
that's normal business hours.
Yeah.
There's a noise order.
Normal business hours, but we are. But they're a business. We're not. We're residential. We're a neighborhood. They're a business. So, you know, that's annoying to us. We're residents. So, you know, that's part of the problem. We're in a residential area. Again, with the dumpster, as we understand, the dumpster will be moved closer to the parking lot, which will be closer to our properties, and the noise will be affecting our households. Lighting and noise are just two of the nuisances that Lexington Square currently possesses. Any expansion of Lexington Square will only increase the nuisance of lighting and noise. These two definitely adversely affect the character of our Greenbrier neighborhood.
Tell me how you think the light problem would be increased by the addition, how the noise problem would be increased.
Well, the dumpster is going to be moved. They're two separate buildings. I don't know if they're going to get another dumpster or not. That's not my, that's not what I do. But anytime you're going to add another building, and if you're going to extend parking, I assume that you're going to also add lighting.
I don't see the dumpster located on here on the future plans. Right now the dumpster is closer to Bill's house, and it's going to move closer to your house is the way, or the Cole's house is going to move closer to your house. Regardless, I guess it's
still annoying. Yeah.
I understand that you're annoyed by it now, but I guess what I'm trying to figure out is how that annoyance will increase for you.
Because of the extension of that parking lot. And if there's an extension, then there could be even more parking there. And also the building, like I said, I assume that there will be more lighting because it's going to be moved further down. It's not going to be, it's over. So I don't see why there wouldn't be more lighting. I mean, I'm just assuming, but to me that just is a normal assumption to make. They're already nuisances.
Okay. You guys have anything else? Thank you.
I'm Danny McNamara. I live at 607 Messenger Road. I've lived there before Lexington Square was built. I'm requesting that you deny the Lexington Square to construct addition to their business in order to protect the property and property values of the neighborhood. This area is a prime residential area in the city of Keokuk. We see the expansion of a business in this area detrimental to our residential neighborhood because it will decrease the property values of our homes. It will increase traffic. We already have an increase of emergency vehicles in the neighborhood because of the nature of the existing business. We have an increase in traffic in our neighborhood because of employees of Lexington Square and the visitors to the facility. We also have existing traffic from Hawthorne Elementary School and the Community College. There are no sidewalks in this area. There is an increase in noise, and it will adversely affect the character of the neighborhood. Please protect our residential areas in the city of Keokuk. Thank you.
I'll give you a copy of the...
Julie Totten, 17 Greenbrier Court. When you asked if we had copies earlier, we have a copy of the engineering study, but I have never seen the pictures that you're looking at of what the proposed facility will look like and where the dumpster will be and where the lights will be. And I was wondering if before I speak and give my testimony, if I could have a copy.
Drawing over.
Here's one.
I'm Dan Robertson. I live at 8 Greenbrier Court, and I would be on the, be considered the east side. I own the fourth home in from Messenger Road, facing the back of my home faces the nursing home. We're talking about some of the special permit, the granting section. It says that we should conserve, protect property and property values. Now, I've discussed with a local realtor, and he commented to me that if anything is built out closer to the neighboring homes, he said you're probably going to look at a decrease of 10 to 15% of the property values. And I think that falls into that special granting. Need to protect the property and our values, our home values. Now, I know that the nursing home was there before we were, but it was also built in a residential area. It's zoned residential. They should realize that our home shouldn't decrease in property value because they want to increase, actually not increase their bed space, but increase private rooms. I contend that he may increase the tax base on his property, but if it decreases our tax base, it's going to be a wash. He's not creating any jobs. He's not, all he's doing is lining the pockets of himself and taking that profit back to Phoenix. He's not adding any value to the community other than the fact that the people that can afford those beds might have the opportunity to be there. So, you have any questions?
We're not usually, the monetary part of it really doesn't enter into the equation, but I understand your concerns, and same way with property values. I mean, if that can be verified or somebody wants to testify to that fact, I suppose that you'll have, I guess there's some grounds for reduction or something there, but at this point, I can also say that the values are going to go up. It's my opinion, their opinion, that's always a real, that comes up more times than not in all of these decisions we always seem to make. If one guy, says it's going to go up, the other side says it's going to go down. And we understand that, there's probably an effect one way or the other, and I don't know whether it's up or down, and we don't know whether that's going to change as time goes on or what, but.
Well, looking at
looking
at their rendition of where their parking lot is going to be, it looks as though I'm probably going to have a few more lights pointing in my direction when they're coming in and leaving during the day and night. I know they come in all hours. I see lights now in my living area, and I hear engines warming up and. All this adverse is the neighborhood as far as I'm concerned. So I hope you take it into
account. I agree with you. I see where that definitely happens.
Okay.
I'd like to ask you the same question I asked Mr. Knapp. Would you be opposed to some sort of a fence similar to the one that they installed out in the Indian Hills? If so, why?
A big sound barrier like they've got out there?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Be opposed to it? Of course I would.
Why?
Well, who wants to look at that thing all day?
Well,
I don't want it. I don't want it in my backyard. I hope you wouldn't want it in your backyard. I don't know. I don't know if you live in Indian Hills or not, but.
It would cure the problem of the headlights, the noise.
Well, I think the covenants though of Greenbrier, they're not allowed to have fences.
Well, we're not allowed to have, privacy fencing. We can have wooden fencing or chain-link fencing 4 foot or lower.
And a solution wouldn't be, I understand what you're saying, Alani, but if their neighborhood already doesn't permit it, I would say that it probably ought to be a landscaping-type situation if it's going to be any type of a barrier.
That would help with the noise and the lighting issues.
And the
well, I don't think the character of our neighborhood would warrant a big sound barrier wall or a fence like you're talking about. That would really adverse our neighborhood.
Well, so. I'm not talking about 10 foot tall or 12 foot tall, maybe 4 to 6 feet.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily even want a 6 foot fence. So, thank you.
Julie Totten, 17 Greenbrier Court. My husband and I purchased in March of 2009 during the recession. I understand that you guys don't necessarily deal with the money part, but so let me show you some cute pictures. This is Ethan. This is Ethan this weekend because I was told I had to be able to tell you that. Oh, you have some. This is Avery. So Ethan's 3.5. Avery is 9.5 months. When we bought our home in March of 2009, we had a lot of opportunity to purchase in a lot of areas. We could have lived in Burlington, where I'm from. We could have lived in Hamilton, Carthage, where I work. But we chose to live in Keokuk. We wanted to live in Iowa. We purposely selected a neighborhood that we felt long-term we could raise our children. We wanted to be near the schools. And we wanted to live in a neighborhood where we felt the value would either hold or appreciate. At the time, we were one of the most expensive homes in the neighborhood, and according to the tax records, we still are. I checked today. Section 20.68.020 of the code, specifically number 1A, C, and D, are impacted by the special use permit. I was told earlier today that that adversely has a great definition, and part of it is undesirable. This special use permit is undesirable to the neighborhood. It will affect the character of the neighborhood. They're going to put up an additional building that is going to be right behind us. As you've already said, and we would agree, we don't put up privacy fences. We have chain link. Our neighborhood is a community. Every day, most of the neighbors have pets. Everybody walks their dogs. My kids play in the front yard. We can hear the traffic. We can hear the noise. We live across the street. My little girl's room is on the front of the house. She's the lightest sleeper. I'm going to wish I'd never put her bed there. We hear the traffic when the shifts change. I believe that Hawthorne is part of the neighborhood. And the school district made a decision to change their policy and put the youngest children in the school district in Hawthorne. It's going to increase, according to their principal, 100 to 125 students, which is going to increase traffic. Our neighborhood can't do anything about that, but we can do something about potential increase. As I understand it, if you grant them a permit, there's nothing that says that they can't add more beds later. Just because your permit will allow them to build their building. What they do in their building later is their business, just as it is what any of us do in our own home. So they could add beds later. And history has shown that unfortunately the current owner hasn't stood by what he's told my neighbors, and we weren't part of those conversations. But what leads you to believe that he'll change now? He could put another 20 beds in that facility, which will increase traffic, which will deter the safety for my kids. And there are grandkids in the neighborhood. Since we purchased our home, there have been 10 or 11 homes in Keokuk that have sold for more than $200,000. Three of those are in our neighborhood, and one's on Fairway. So four of 10 or 11 homes over $200,000 are located right there. We represent 3.4 million of the tax base in Keokuk for 2010 and 3.7 million in 2011. I don't want to go up to Fort Madison and ask Lee County to reduce my taxes, but if this building is built, I'm going, and I'm inviting all my neighbors. That's going to adversely impact Keokuk, because you don't get to decide if Lee County decides that we weren't adversely impacted. You get to decide now. Sorry, I'm really nervous. I'm trying to stick to what you said we should stick to. Nobody's questioning the quality of care. I think that when I need a nursing home, I want to be cared for, just as Ms. Grant said. My grandmother was in a nursing home before she passed, and I want someone like all of these employees to take care of me. but I think there are a lot of places, a lot of property in Keokuk that would be better suited for this expansion that does not increase jobs long-term in our community and will adversely impact my neighborhood. That's all. Do you want to ask me the question about what I think would be positive in the...
No.
Okay. But I live in the neighborhood, and the city code doesn't say how far apart we have to live to be impacted. And I would like to say that the first meeting they had of the neighbors, they didn't even invite me. The second time they did, after I think my neighbors complained. Sure, if I, absolutely. If I was in a nursing home, I wouldn't want to share a bed either. I do have a question. How come there's a retention pond on their map?
There was three options. I think we're drawing the retention pond option.
I just want to make sure, because I really opposed a pond where my 3.5-year-old will climb the fence. And I mean, if you have a boy.
It's been determined that it'll overdrive the utilities to Greenbrier, which would be the sewer. And
so if they don't get the easement, if you give them a permit and they don't get the easements,
they can't do the project.
Okay. I'd like to ask that you require everything that they're going to do to be in writing. Their history speaks for itself here.
Well, everything that will be, that if it is approved, that will be that will be taken care of and done as it is required or as we request them to do. So I mean, that will be done.
Great.
Just to put your mind at ease a little bit about adding rooms, they would have to come Pam and ask for any type of, if they're going to modify any of those rooms.
They don't get to just do what they want. But actually, they would have to go to the state.
Mm-hmm. They would have to go to the state.
So the city would have no decision as to whether they could put two
at
people back
point,
in those rooms.
But there is an option that the Greenbrier residents would like to come to the city council and request there be a zoning change. Not that the city council would do it, but they would look into limiting how many residents could go within a nursing home in a residential district.
Great. Thank you. Please vote no.
Anybody else?
Janine Breitenstein, 19 Greenbrier Court. And you were asking about the dumpster noise. And in the summertime, we don't run our air a whole lot, but we have the windows open, and the dumpster is active all through the night. You know, whenever it's full, they run the dumpster. So you hear that bang, like Mrs. Knapp said. So that's all I was going to address that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so
they run 24
hours. Yes, yes. It's whenever, I'm sure it's whenever their janitorial staff or housekeeping goes out and they run that dumpster. So they used to have a dumpster that, you know, the raccoons got in, and they did, I think, when Mr. Israel or someplace along there, they bought this automatic one that was enclosed. But it does, you know, when they put their garbage in, it runs, and then it goes through a cycle, and it does have the bang. But it's all times of the night. So I just wanted to address that. Pardon? Yeah, it does. So.
I'm Bill Cole, 20 and 22 Greenbrier Court, right next door to Gene Knapp. Directly behind this addition would be directly behind a house. My wife would be looking at it. One of the questions that was asked was how would you think that the lighting could affect you? Do I think this lighting would move about 100 feet closer to our house than it currently is now, 90 to 100 feet based on the length of the building? I don't have a drawing in front of me. But it would be very difficult. There's not enough room left if you make them set 20 to 30 feet back from the property line. There really literally won't be enough room left for a buffer of trees or maybe a privacy fence. We certainly would not want to be looking at a privacy fence all the time. It would certainly buffer the noise and the lights, no doubt about that. I would also point out that in these drawings that are in front of you, there is driveways shown to the east of this property. There is further development planned there. You see the three driveways that are turning out into the lots that are shown. So there is going to be an increase in traffic, and there's definitely going to be an increase in traffic with this circle driveway in the back. They're not currently delivering patients or residents to the back of the property. Whether there's an increase in traffic moving from the front to the back, or whether it's an overall increase in traffic, I'm not sure, but there will be more traffic in the back than there currently is. And so this will definitely have a negative impact on the residential neighborhood. And it's very hard for me to understand how you could not see that. I mean, how you could think that this would not negatively impact the properties, the residents. I understand and appreciate the position you're in. I sympathize with the decision you've got to make. But this basically isn't a commercial business expanding in a residential neighborhood. It's already a nuisance and probably not going to get any better. The water issue can be addressed, but that hinges on easements that are not yet obtained and a sewer that's not yet sized. And I find that it may be premature to be deciding to permit something that without a further plan in place that says this is exactly what we're going to do. Thank you very much.
Well, it's all subject to that design, as well as the way the current code's written. I'm just addressing everybody. I guess the way it's currently written.
Well, I'm sorry.
Susan Grant again, Hamilton, Illinois. I just want to clarify about bed capacity, because basically I want you to understand that we are licensed, and we have to be licensed by the state of Iowa through a certificate of need process. Lexington Square holds 126 licensed beds. That will never change. We have no intention of ever going to the state with a CON. I think we all know from the past of another facility that attempted a CON process, and it was denied because the facts are this Lee County is overbedded by all of the area nursing homes, the state formula. I don't know the details of how it works, but I do know that there are too many beds. So we're not asking for beds. We're asking for space. And that's the issue that I want to put forth so that you understand that.
Well, as part of the drawing, it does appear to us and everybody in the room, lot A, B, C, and D are present there. Like there is, you know, you are looking at, developing some residences on the site.
When those plans were drawn up, I have no knowledge of anything moving forward in regards to that. So I'm only looking at the addition. I'm not looking at the east lots.
But I could see where people are looking.
I could see that too. So, and I don't know how to address that question because I have not had any input into anything in the east lot.
Okay.
So.
Anybody else? Neither side? Pam, do you have anything else you want to discuss?
I do not have anything to add. Yes, I have just a few things.
Could I say one thing on behalf of Lexington before?
Jim Dennis again on behalf of Lexington. We've listened to a lot of complaints tonight, even talk about private nuisances tonight, and perceived problems. And you have an application in front of you that I submit can take care of some of these problems. If it's denied, the neighbors' problems are still there. It's not going to be addressed. They want problems addressed. They want things in writing, and I understand that, and I appreciate that. If you deny, nothing's going to be in writing. The problems are not going to be solved. Things will go on. Unless they decide, then it's really a private nuisance. We're going to have to go out and hire somebody to help us take it to court. Some people might welcome that, but it's probably not the best way to resolve this. If you grant it, things will be in writing. You'll have parameters. There's limitations. You can address the issues, and we go forward. You have the control. Pam Broomhall has the control. The city has the control. It doesn't become neighbor versus neighbor then. So we can continue with the problems and we can keep talking about the problems, or we can address them and solve them tonight. And I submit that what you need to do is go through those 6 points. And I also submit that there's not substantial evidence that you've heard that would do anything except allow that the application be granted. So that's how we feel at this point. Oh, and by the way, we're fairly confident that those easements can be secured. So, but I understand that would be part of any type of decision you make if it's positive.
Say one thing in rebuttal to that. Kurt Dial, Keokuk, Iowa. I appreciate Jim looking out for my clients the way he is. That's nice of him to take care of their needs.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I think perhaps they would prefer if they got to speak for themselves, which they have. They have very specific complaints. And if you look at the 6 things you can consider, the character of the neighborhood is one of the main things you can consider, including the traffic. As you pointed out, it looks like there's going to be more traffic with the drawing there, at least the back of the building. Mr. Cole points out the building's going to be closer to his residence. That's not going to get addressed under their plan. You know, what in their plan is going to make Mr. Cole happy, as Mr. Dennis says? Nothing. Basically, their argument here is they created this problem with the water, made it worse by getting a parking lot without a permit. But we can take care of that by coming now and fixing this. Well, they could also fix it by doing the problem or doing the drainage they should have done when they got the parking lot without the permit. I don't think they should, I guess, get the benefit of saying, yeah, we helped create this problem, but now we can fix it, so that's going to make all the landowners happy. It's really not. And as I said, the water is one thing. Look at what everyone's talked about. When you move a building closer to Mr. Cole's property, I assume the lights are going to get worse. When you move a building closer to his property and Mr. Knapp's, Mrs. Knapp's, the noise is going to get worse. No one is sitting here arguing about how many beds are going to be in there. We agree with that. That's not for this. But there is no dispute that you're going to start building buildings closer to their property, and it is going to affect the residential character of the neighborhood as it stands right now. One thing that I think everyone agrees on, and, you know, good or bad, we certainly would request that the easements be obtained first. My clients dispute the assertion that the easements can easily be obtained. I don't think the parties are here now, but I know last Monday at least my clients talked about they probably could not be obtained. So, as I said, that's not Mr. Dennis and I have, neither one of us have personal knowledge of that. And I assume that no matter what the board does, that's going to be a requirement that they'd have to be obtained before you go forward. So we'd simply leave it at that.
Well, one thing in response to, a couple things that were mentioned, that everything that has been submitted is within the guidelines. If there are issues, they need to be addressed.
Thank you. Audrey Alexander, city attorney for the city of Keokuk. I've been listening to the statements for the last, this is the third hearing, and one of the things that I really would like to point out is that the board makes their decisions based upon facts and findings of fact. And the way we get to facts is we get it by evidence. What I have heard in terms of evidence, I've heard speculation, things such as I assume, I believe, I think it might happen. But that is not, those are not facts. That's speculation without personal knowledge. The other thing I've heard that I think needs to be looked at is not fact, is hearsay. Bringing in statements that somebody outside of this hearing has made and said, your property value is going to decrease or increase, whatever, that is hearsay. Why wasn't the realtor, the person who was an appraiser, somebody brought in so that the board would have that kind of information? Based upon that,
as to the substantially increased traffic hazards, I do not believe that's been proved. We've heard speculation that it's going to increase. We have a present condition at Hawthorne School that is creating a problem. We had photographs brought which showed the problem. That didn't show, that is not a future determination of what's going to happen if this building is placed. Increased fire hazards, nobody's even discussed that. Adversely affect the character of the neighborhood. Well, the character of the neighborhood is fairly well established, but I think the board is going to have to determine whether or not they believe, based upon the facts, that are not hearsay, not speculation, whether the photos are authenticated, all of that, whether or not that has been proven by fact, and also the same with affecting the general welfare of the community. There's been nothing brought about overtaxing the utilities, no evidence, no facts presented. This is also not in conflict with the comprehensive plan. There's been no showing that it is. That is basically what I wanted to point out, what I've been getting from this, and I really think that the board is doing a tremendous job, and I want to thank you for this. Thank you.
Thank you.